try to finish off before the next one if it is possible. Also, welcome to all the members of the Select Committee for Finance, just including the Deputy Chairperson of the NCP, Honorable Mella, welcome. Unfortunately, we have a member of that stature in our committee. All the MECs, East Bay and Northwest, my neighbors, I'm from the Northern Cape. Yes, we are good neighbors. Welcome to Cape Town, thank you for the rain you brought to Cape Town. Although it comes from the south. There's a president here, top guys here. And there's a huge delegation there on my left at the bottom. But they will have to introduce themselves over the general's office. And then a delegation consisting of eight members from SAGA. It's also a big delegation. It's the first time that SAGA is represented in a committee meeting in this way by eight members of that organization. Thank you very much for being present. You've got 10 seats in the NCP, so make use of it. We look forward to your participation in this meeting. We received apologies from the Honorable Bloom, who is presently also attending a meeting of COCTA, running concurrent with this meeting, and Honorable Zulu is on his way to the doctor, maybe to get the injection for the flu. MEC Rockney from the Free States, new in a position as the MEC for Finance, the second woman in South Africa, the other one is KZN. Welcome in your position. You're also representing the MEC for COCTA. I received a letter from the Honorable Premier. That's the way things should be done. In that written format, in this case from the Honorable Premier of the Free State. Honorable members, we are conducting this meeting in a follow-up to our visits to these provinces as an ongoing process of monitoring the progress made in municipalities. Now, we are not the big brother here. That's not the point. The point is to get good governance and sound financial management. Compliance with the MFMA. En route and taking the roadmap to the objective of getting clean audits. And it's an uphill exercise, not a downhill one. I speak for my own province as well. But we will have to do something differently to reach our objective sooner. And that's why we call the MECs for Finance, COCTA, etc., the national departments, that we sit together, do an assessment, what happened since our visit last, what did the provinces do in terms of our recommendations that was captured in our report that was adopted by the NCOP and sent to the provincial legislators. In terms of Section 154 of the Constitution, what did the national and provincial departments do to assist a local government to deliver on the mandate, as well as looking to Chapter 5 of the MFMA, Section 34 and 35, capacity building and promotion of cooperative government by national and provincial institutions. So we all have a role to play. And this is not an exercise of pointing fingers. It's an exercise of doing an analysis and see how we go forward. SAGA, they will... Yes, to everyone, there will be a local government week in August. In August, the whole week set aside for local government here in the National Council of Provinces and Old Assembly Chambers. A very important week. where we again can do an assessment on our local government sphere and the delivery of services. With that introduction words, we dealt with the apologies. Auditor General Free State. Free State, the Cheetahs, doing well in rugby. Free State, where's Free State?
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, members. My name is Lawrence van Vieren.
Mr. Lawrence van Vieren, I just went to right here. Lawrence van Vieren, you are from the Free State,
No, I'm from the National Office of the Auditor General. To my right hand side, I've got Mr. Otwa Duda. He's the business executive for the Free State province. So he will be leading the delegation from the Free State side. Mr. Otwa Duda, here he is. Northwest is to my left-hand side, Mr. Liaquat Ali, and he will be supported by Mr. Van Skalkwyk from the northwest side.
So, we're first taking the Auditor General, first the northwest, after that, we're going to
deal with the Free State Auditor General. Gentlemen, you've got 40 minutes to do your presentation, 20 each. I want you to stick to the time. We are pressed for time. We've got a busy day until late tonight. So get into the actuals.
Thank you.
We've got key presentations. Thank you for that. Also to the provinces sending representations in advance. It assists us a lot. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll hand over to Mr. Liaquat Ali from Northwest.
Northwest. All the members, just get your documentation ready. In front of you, one that looks like this. This one is from the research department. Oh, that one. Yeah. You can kick off.
Okay. All hands, good morning to each and every one of you. All prior calls observed. My name is Liaquat Ali, and I'm supported by Scar from Scar Creek from the Northwest Province. Today we're going to discuss or perhaps lay forward the outcomes for the Northwest Province. I have before you the presentation that has been put out, which encompasses the overall outcomes for 23 municipalities and 4 municipal entities for the Northwest Province. And these outcomes have comparatives, so it deals with 2012 as well as 2011. In addition to that, the committee has requested us to provide specific outcomes on 10 municipalities, and this has been provided by way of an annexure which has a summary of these outcomes as well, and that will be dealt with at the latter part of this presentation. I draw your attention to the slides, and to give you a pretext as to what the outcomes are for the province, slide one talks about the status of and the progress of our audit outcomes, and it gives you a clear picture for all the municipalities in the province. Overall, the picture depicts red, which indicates the number of disclaimer of opinions in the province. The purple talks to the number of qualifications or qualified audit opinions, and the yellow depicts the unqualified audit opinions. As we stand, we have no clean audits, basically no municipalities that have clean administration at this particular stage. The diagram before you does indicate that there's been a real improvement in the province, and if you look at the actual graphs, it tells you that overall the picture looks more or less the same, but there is something different with regards to this particular picture. For the first time in the Northwest, it section encompasses the outcomes for all municipalities. And this was due to the fact that an initiative was undertaken by the Premier's office together with the MC Finance, whereby municipalities were requested to submit all financial statements for the current year as per legislative deadlines, as well as backlogs. So those backlogs stretched in some cases up to 4 years, and all those submissions were done 31 August 2012 last year. So what you see before you is a picture of 2012, but more importantly, the comparative 2 years as well. So you can actually make a fair analysis of the outcomes and the status of the province. The next slide talks to the fact that I've just mentioned, and this talks to the backlog audits, more initiatives done by the MSC Finance, whereby all of these financial statements were submitted for audit. And it gives you an indication of which municipalities had those backlogs. And if you had to see, look at some of them. Dr. Rose, Mumpati District, submitted 3 years at one particular point. Kakhisono, local municipality, as well as Mumpati, submitted 3 years financial statements. Particularly Mumpati, in this case it was 4 years. So you are seeing a real picture at a point in time. The next slide talks to improvements in the province. And as I said to you in my first slide, there is more improvement, and this gives you a depiction. 4 municipalities improved, 2 from disqualified to qualified, as well as 2 from qualified to unqualified, and there's been 2 notable regressions. The municipalities that improved were Clockwell and Rustenburg Water Services. They improved from qualified to unqualified. And Rustenburg and Moses Kotai municipalities improved from disclaimer to qualified. The 2 regressions were Dr. KKDM Economic Agency, which regressed from an unqualified with findings to qualified, and Greater Tarong regressed from qualified to disclaimer. 21 remain unchanged. The status of compliance with laws and regulations, this is a challenge. And in the province, there hasn't been any municipality or municipal entity that registered no findings. So every single one had a finding with regards to compliance with laws and regulations. And these compliance with laws and regulations stem from matters relating to the submission of financial statements, the quality thereof, meaning the adherence to the standards, the accounting framework, as well as supply chain management, asset management, budget, etc. And these municipalities, as depicted by this diagram, there's no improvement. So we've had 100% non-compliance in the previous year as well as in the current year. Quality of annual performance reports, once again, for the province as a whole. There are material findings on the performance reports of 89% of the auditees. And this picture is more or less the same. Performance reports, we're looking at the relevance, reliability of information. And this talks to the fact that the underlying data cannot be relied upon to make decisions, decisions relating to service delivery. And the findings talk to the fact that those auditors could not formulate or base a conclusion on the information produced by those municipalities. We found that they were not relevant, not reliable, not useful in 89% of those cases. Now, one asks the question, what are the areas that should be focused on? And clearly our audit process covered 6 particular focus areas. And these focus areas related to supply chain management. Supply chain management is the compliance with processes to ensure that expenditure incurred is in adherence to the laws and regulations and does not eventually result in irregular, unauthorized, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And in this case, 96% of the municipalities had findings in this area. Quality of performance report, I've spoken about. Human resource management. this focused on this particular focus area, which dealt with the vacancies, the scale of staff at municipalities. And this area found that fines related to 96% of the municipalities, whereby we had issues relating to how human resource management function was actually dealt with at those municipalities. And this related to appointments, leave, compensation, etc. Quality of submitted financial statements, it says 100%. It means that the financial statements submitted for audit, 100% of them had findings that we as the Auditor General were able to pick up to our audit process and requested the municipality to effect adjustments. So much so that in 5 of the cases, had there been no adjustments being put through by those municipalities, it would have resulted in a change of opinion. And let me explain this. It's the fact that those financial statements that were submitted on 31 August had errors in them, which we, as the Auditor General, picked up and requested the municipality to make adjustments. In some cases where the municipality did effect those adjustments, it resulted in an improvement in those opinions. And by and large, when those adjustments were not effected, the outcome is clearly evident. So that in some cases, those were qualified as well as disclaimed.
Can you indicate which municipalities did not effect those adjustments? Because that's part of the way forward.
Okay. I don't have this kind of private information for you. I'll do that for you. Okay. In addition to that, information technology, we found that the underlying systems that drive the production of data that will result in credible information for municipalities, we had 100% of those municipalities having issues regarding the information being produced. Hence, we stress on this particular focus area because of the large volume of information that is being processed by municipalities. Therefore, your systems have to be dependable, have integrity, and they have to function in a way that they were designed not to function. And we've had issues around the input of information into these information technology systems, as well as the system, the information that's produced, which is largely dependent upon the information that is put in. Financial health, with regards to this, we mentioned our concern, but we've had issues around the fact that we talk about the ability of municipalities to meet its cash flow requirements to enable that municipality to sustain themselves. And here again, we had 30% of those municipalities having an issue. We spoke about the quality of financial statements, and an interesting statistic is the fact that due to correction of material misstatements during the audit process, 19% of auditees were able to avoid qualifications. And I will give it an end shortly. So if the outcome was not corrected, you would have had 100% being qualified. And outcome after the corrections was the fact that 5 had improved to favorable opinions. What action should be taken? And this hinges around 3 particular areas which we, as the Auditor General's Office, have been talking about. And this talks to the fundamental controls in our municipality. And this pertains to your leadership, your financial management, as well as your governance. And the leadership, firstly, the picture shows that 75 to 80% of the cases, roughly, intervention is required with regards to leadership, financial and performance management, as well as governance. And this statistic speaks to the number of disclaimer of opinions that we've achieved in the province. In the first slide, we mentioned something like, for the current year, 18 municipalities and municipal entities that were disclaimed. and 18 out of roughly 27. It talks more or less to this percentage as well. And if you look at these, for any municipality to function, any entity, there has to be strong leadership, supported by strong systems and controls, further supported by strong oversight. And this oversight needs to function in the manner required, as the manner that they have been mandated to. If I look at the next slide, the movement with regards to assurance, before I get there, we have asked what are the fundamental control problems and root causes around this. We've boiled it down to three particular issues. One is that there are key vacant positions, key officials lacking appropriate competencies. So positions that are vacant or key officials lacking appropriate competencies, you find this a challenge at 96% of all auditees. Lack of consequences for poor performance and transgressions. Unless something is done differently this year, if the municipality continues working in the same manner, you will get the same outcome. There has to be a change in the way you do business. And this is what we are saying with regards to the second point. There has to be a consequence for doing something wrong in the previous year. Unless something happens, you can expect a very similar outcome. As well as the fact that there's been a slow response by political leadership in addressing the root causes, and we find this also at 96% of the municipalities and entities. My last slide talks to assurance, and this deals with who should be taking action. This slide, it depicts to you the assurance levels that the municipality should have both inherently in their capacity to ensure that at the end of the day, information being produced by the municipality or entity is credible. It is very important. Ultimately, at the end of the day, we come once a year, twice a year at the most. It is imperative and it is integral that the municipality be able to generate information that is credible and reliable for council to be able to make the correct decisions. And when we come in and express that opinion, we do it once a year and say that you can't rely on this. But what happens to decisions being made during the year? Now, this particular graph or diagram, it indicates to you what are the levels of assurance that at the end of the day should lie at the municipality. And if you look at the assurance provided, more or less, again, between 50 and 60% limited or no assurance by those particular role players. Senior management, municipal manager, producing information, going through information, at the end of the day, filtering through to the mayor that lacks credibility, relevance, reliability in 63 to 67% of the cases. Now, the mayor relies on this information and makes decisions. And this is the problem. Further, the role players that have been put into place to oversee this, the oversight mechanisms. Your internal audit that's supposed to function on a continual basis throughout the year, again, is fluctuating in 59% of the cases with regards to the assurance that they are providing. So the audit committee relying on this information, once again, the information functioning to them and their view of the credibility of this information, there is very little reliance or assurance being provided. Your coordinating ministries, as of 2012, once again, the level of assurance provided, or no assurance provided, in 75% of the cases, also an issue. Your external, independent assurance and oversight. Your council, impacts. Now, there are ones that are ultimately relying upon information being produced by this municipality on a monthly basis. Again, due to what I've explained to you at the first and second level of assurance, but by consequence, they're able to now make qualitative decisions, make qualitative resolutions, because the information, the picture they're getting, is not what's happening on the ground. It doesn't accurately depict what's on the ground. The next slide spoke to the actual specific request by the committee with regards to the 10 municipalities. And Scala, do we have that slide? Okay. Okay. This particular one spoke to the 10 municipalities. I have submitted it through to the committee for the handout. With regards to this, it spoke to the municipalities Matlasana, Ditsambotla, Khetlanashir, Mafeking. It's the one that looks like this. It has five columns. 12, 2011, 10, 9, and 8. Okay, those particular municipalities that were requested, if I ran through, the committee specifically asked what were the outcomes in 10, 11, 12. Matlasana was disclaimed in both years. Ditsambotla was disclaimed in both years. Khetlanashir was disclaimed in both years. Mafeking disclaimed in both years. Mamusa disclaimed in both years. Makwasi Hill disclaimed in both years. Moratele disclaimed in both years. Swahan disclaimed in both years. Ventersdorp disclaimed in both years. And the last one is Moses Kotane, which improved from a disclaimer to a qualified opinion. So in a nutshell, 9 out of the 10 remained disclaimed from the previous year, 1 improved to a qualified opinion. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for that briefing. Honourable members, please note your questions. We're going straight to the AG of the Free State. Any consultants, pick them. Question time. We're going to questions. Free State? Presta? Where's the Free State? Oh, there.
Okay.
Just give them a minute. Sitting down and getting into the laptop. Salga, you've noted that specific page where interventions is needed. We addressed Salga last year with the national leadership, plus the local government week, plus debates in the House, reports submitted, indicating your training. You will have to review your training, because these things are coming up every year. It's the same story. You can respond to it when you get your opportunity. Free State, are you ready?
Yes. Thanks, Honorable Chair. Good morning, the Honorable Members.
You've got 20 minutes.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Good morning, and also good morning to the Honorable MSCs that are here with us today. Our presentation is similar to the presentation that was done with by Northwest, so I'll try to eliminate the duplication as much as I can. Our presentation is divided in basically into four, where we indicate the status of the audits, the areas that should be focused on, and the current role players, as well as what are the vital actions that need to be taken. The first slide is with regard to the audit outcome, which is slide number 5. The picture is a bit similar also to the Northwest, but I can say that with the Free State, we see some slight improvement in getting better to clean administration. We see there is a reduction in the number of the disclaimed opinions. In the 2010-2011, there were 16, at least they managed to reduce to 12. There are some audits that were qualified, they managed to move to unqualified. But there are some municipalities who are really distorting the picture that they regress, but there's a few, I'll indicate those municipalities when I get to the slide with regard to the movements. The municipality that we still didn't manage to analyze is Nana Municipality. because Nala Municipality, their audit outcomes are still outstanding for both years, the 2010-11 as well as 2011-12. Then the next slide, we're indicating the backlogs, is the Nala Municipality that I just indicated. The second one is the Granite Trust, Farming Trust. The delay in finalizing these audits, it is the municipal entity for one of the municipalities. Firstly, we had to consult with National Treasury to agree whether this entity is it a municipal entity that needs to be consolidated to the financial statements for the municipality, and whether also what is the reporting framework that they should use. Through the consultation, the resolution has been reached recently this year that this is not, even though it is a municipal entity, doesn't have to be consolidated. And we also agreed on the framework that needs to be used in actually preparing the financial statements for this trust. So therefore now the municipality will prepare the financial statements and submit for us, which will be able now to clear the backlog of all these financial years from 2007-2008 up until the financial year which the trust was actually closed down. Then the slides with the movements, we see with the movements the way there's one municipality that managed to get a clean audit opinion, which is the Sedlo Derby Trust. That trust managed to still maintain the same audit opinion as the previous year. With regard to unqualified findings, there were two municipalities that improved their audit outcome, which is the Tshabeng local municipality as well as Tswelopele. The other six municipalities, they maintained the same audit outcome as the previous years as unqualified. District Municipality, is Lejurepuza District Municipality, Tshabeng of Mutianyana District Municipality, Kharib District Municipality, Lejurepuza Development Agency, and Kendwana Local Municipality. The other seven municipalities, they still maintain the municipalities that were disclaimed in the previous financial year, and they improved their audit outcomes to qualified opinion. It was six municipalities. Those municipalities is Mangaung Metro, Letsemeng Local Municipality, the Setsoto, Masilonyana, Metsimaholo, and Tokoloho. The trust, which is the trust for Metsimaholo, still maintain the same audit outcome that they received in the prior year of qualified opinion. With regard to the disclaimer of opinions, there's two municipalities that regressed. Those municipalities in the previous year, they get unqualified, but they regressed from qualified to the disclaimer, which is Mansopa Municipality as well as Maluti Water. With regard to the compliance with laws and regulations, we're also experiencing the same challenges as Northwest, where all the municipalities we're reporting the non-compliance with laws and regulations. The only municipality that did not have findings is the Fezile Derby District Trust. So that's the only one that represents the 4%, and all the other municipalities that we audited, they have findings on laws and regulations. With regard to the annual performance reports, there's only two municipalities in the province that managed to get it right, which we are working together with those municipalities because they're the district municipality. And we're trying to get them to share their good practices with other municipalities because with them they managed to get the performance reporting correct. Those two municipalities is Thabo Mafutsanyana as well as Kharib District Municipality. Otherwise, all the other ones, they still have the findings on the performance reporting. The next slide on the focus areas. The first one is the supply chain management, which is really still a challenge in the province because there's only one municipality that managed to not to maintain that they don't have any findings with regard to supply chain, which is only the legislature process development agency. All the other municipalities, they have findings on this area. In this analysis for supply chain management, we excluded the Sales Lake Yagi District Trust as well as Metsuna Hall of Trust, because they are the very small trust and these issues are not really applicable to them, the supply chain management issues. And the quality of performance reports, as I indicated earlier, there's only two municipalities, which is Thabo Mofutsanyane and Gariep. On the human resource management, the only municipalities that didn't have any findings in this area is the Gariep District Municipality, Solopane Local Municipality, and Lejolo Puso District Agency. And all the other municipalities have the same with their findings on the HR issues. With regard to the quality of submitted financial statements, Fezile Dabi is the only one again that didn't have any findings. So the financial statements that they resubmitted to us on the 31st of July is the financial statements that we just expressed the opinion on. And the other ones is the one that we have to go through the process of issuing the findings, and then they go back and adjust their financial statements. The information technology controls, all the municipalities that we audited, we reported the issues around the IT, except for the three municipalities which the audit was not conducted, because those are the small entities. Again, it's Fezile Dabi Diabetes Trust, the Lejolo-Puso District Agency, and Metsima Olo Trust. But all the other municipalities, we had findings. With regard to the financial health, we reported that 54% is the municipalities that we see that we don't see much threat with regard to going concern, but 46%, we're very concerned with those ones. But the 54% is the only one that I just listed now that we didn't raise anything on the, with regard to going concern, is the Fezile Dabi Trust, the Lejolo-Puso District Municipality, Thabo Mofutsanyane, Dihlabeng, Letsemeng, Matsopa, Masilonyane, Kentuwana, Pumelela, Setsoto, Tokomaho, Tsolopele, St. Lake, and the Lejolo-Puso District Development Agency. Then the next slide, it talked to because it's one of the issues that we included, which is Northwest, they don't have, because we feel that it is one of the issues that we want to highlight with regard to the Free State. But in the Free State, the province took the initiative of realizing that they don't have the resources or all the necessary skills. So they took the initiative of trying to get in the consultants to assist the municipality. So we started to do an analysis to see if the consultants that are used, what impact does it have in the opinions that we're raising as in their financial statements. The picture it currently doesn't look good, because only if you look at those different graphs, it indicates that even though there are consultants that are used, the opinions, they don't always improve because of the use of consultants. We take note of the fact that 8 municipalities that get to unqualified, they use the consultants, they manage in those municipalities to get to unqualified. Of much concern is the 12 municipalities that use the consultants but are still sitting with the disclaimers. We have the engagements with the municipalities to try to see what could be the main risk drivers for these municipalities that use the consultants but we don't see the impact in them. And one of the issues that we identified is actually the appointment of the consultants at a very late stage. Because if they have to deal with more complex areas that affect the opinions in the financial statements, we feel that maybe if they could have appointed them at an earlier stage, that could have resulted in better audit outcomes. And also maybe the other challenge is the municipality not taking the ownership, thinking that once they utilize the consultants, They transfer the whole responsibility to the consultants and not take the full responsibility in resolving the areas that have an impact in the audit outcome. The next slide is irregular expenditure, which we see a trend of increasing from year on year, because in the 11-12 financial year, it shot up to more than $1 billion. I had an engagement with the owner of the MEC for finance, where she's working on it, on these issues of irregular expenditure, getting the municipalities to come to account so that we can start to promote the issues of consequences with regard to these issues of irregular expenditure. So which we're hoping that going forward, maybe we'll see the impact of the reduction in the irregular expenditure going forward. The next slide is regard to the quality of the financial statements that are submitted. It indicates that on the first letter, we gave us the quality of the financial statements that you can just express an opinion. The other one have to go through the process of adjusting those financial statements. So all the municipalities in the province that manage to get to unqualified, they have to go back and adjust their financial statements due to the audit process in order for them to get there. The reason why I'm highlighting this is this fact that they depend on the audit adjustment. We're concerned about the sustainability in maintaining those audit outcomes. But our expectation is that once the financial statements are signed by the municipal manager, it should be they should be of good quality, and then we should just come and audit and express the opinion on those financials. The next slide is the drivers with regard to the key controls. In most instances, we're indicating the red bar, which indicates that there is an intervention that is required for these municipalities to move towards the clean administration. There are some municipalities that are really showing progress, because in that column of yellow, that is where those municipalities are showing progress. And some municipalities, we feel that they are there in getting to clean. And in most of those municipalities, this is the district municipalities and few of the local municipalities. The pervasive root causes, the root causes on the analysis that we've done, we get to these three, which is exactly the same as the root causes that Northwest have identified. But I must mention the fact that with regard to the first root cause, with regard to the key positions vacant and key officials lacking appropriate competencies, the province has taken an initiative of appointing qualified CFOs. I think most of our CFOs in the province, they've got all the minimum requirements. But I think the challenge that the province is still experiencing is the staff that are actually supporting those CFOs, because those CFOs on their own, they won't be able to pull up the municipality without the support from the officials that they're working under them. And one of the challenges that we pick up also, which is the legislative issue, is with regard to the fact that only the people that sign the performance management contract is only the people that are in Section 57 and 56. The people that are below them, there are no contracts for them to actually manage their performance, which I think is one of the challenges in actually getting these officials to actually study to pull up their weight to support their CFOs. Lack of consequences, I think the lack of consequences, we can link it back to the trend of the increase to irregular expenditure, because people, they don't comply with their laws and regulations, and there are no consequences they are taking, and then the people, they do it as a norm, because they know that even if they don't comply, nothing is going to happen to them. And the last root cause is the slow response by political leadership in addressing these root causes. We've got the interactions with the municipalities. We undertook now the journey of training all the municipal councillors so that they understand clearly what is their oversight responsibilities. I think we've done more than 50% by end of March. We are busy in the process of analyzing the ones that are still outstanding, with the hope that once we conduct that training to all the councillors, we will have the expectation of them now to clearly perform a better oversight, which we hope that it will address this issue of the addressing the findings that we raise as the Auditor General. Then the last slide is the the assurance. The only area that I would just want to highlight, because it's the similar issues with regard to Northwest, I'll just highlight the issues of taking time to establish the Municipal Public Accounts Committee, because as at the end of the year last year, there were only 46% of the municipalities that still haven't established the MPEC. And the ones that they already established, which is the 54%, those MPECs, because they just started, there was a limited assurance that they provided. And in some instances, because they were really new, so there was a completely no assurance level that they could manage to provide. Also, with regard to the legislature and the portfolio committee, in the past few years, we had some challenges with the portfolio committees in actually distributing the resolutions on time, which had an impact now in actually for those municipalities to actually implement the resolutions that they took on the review of their annual reports and the audit reports. Hence, we indicated that it provided no assurance because there were no resolutions that were issued out. I think, thank you, Chairperson. I don't want to repeat again the issues that have been set by Northwest. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time management. We gained 3 minutes here, honourable members. You noted your questions. We'll give time for questions. Honourable members, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of time and money is spent on training. We had different programs dating back to 2006. And it will be interesting to do a calculation of the money put into training. What amount of money was spent by National Treasury, Auditor General, Provincial Treasuries, SALGA, and COCTA? And what is the result? Here we sit with the diagnostic analysis of two provinces. We dealt with Northern Cape already in November. And it's very clear that you will have to look at the integrated approach to succeed. Secondly, specific to SALGA, when you train councillors and agents, you train councillors on accountability and train oversight, how do you assess them that they know what they were trained on? Do they write an exam? Do they write a test? Do they do a case study? How are they assessed when they leave the room? I know what I was trained on. I can go and apply this. It's like an engineer building a bridge. Or a pilot flying a plane. He knows what to do at what stage. That's the things we have to concentrate on. Because we're talking about this meeting after meeting after meeting. To get the way forward. Honourable members, over to you. Starting here, Shani, Shile, Kupela, Lise. Anyone else in that order? Or for Shani?
Thanks, Chair, I wish to appreciate the report by the AG. A number of questions comes up, but I think they'll be more relevant directed to the provinces. So I would not waste time on those that are relevant to provinces. The question is two. What I want to check is what, insofar as assurance is concerned, particularly on oversight bodies like ourselves, what type of assurance do you expect from us in this process? Two, regard to Northwest, I see there are two slides. Your presentation is almost the same in Free State, but there's a slide that refers to the use of consultants by all these entities. Are you in the position to show us what is the situation there, as well as on the irregular expenditure trends, like Free State has done? One would be interested to see. Then back to Free State, which is my last question. The last one, Chair. It's this use of consultants. I just want to check if the AG, whether now or later, would be in the position to tell us as to what is the state of these audit committees in these municipalities. Because audit committees, in my view, should play a very meaningful role that will even cut on your time and all those things. Do we have these audit committees in all these municipalities? And if we have, are they resourced with capable people equal to the task? And at what cost? What is the cost of whatever stipends that are paid to the members of these audit committees, so that we can begin to see the value for money? In Free State, only one municipality appointed consultants because of vacancies. The rest, they have staff members in those areas. One would assume is that consultants were appointed because those staff members are said to be incapacitated somehow. Now, is the Auditor General now or later in the position to tell us, to give us comparing figures in terms of the staff employed in the finance unit of these municipalities against the payments that goes to consultants? Because later I would want to know from the provinces as to, in a situation where we have got both, what are those staff members doing every day there when consultants are doing all this work? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairman. Mashile.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chair, I think I just need to welcome the just simply the submission of the financial statements by those municipalities in Northwest. Just simply the submission, just complying with the submission, let alone issues of quality. We know they will be found wanting. I think that push that we ended up getting all those documents, I think it is a step in the right direction. Probably there will be need for heightening the quality. But then my question, Chair, is from the report of the Auditor General on the focus areas to improve the audit. And then we have got, I think we understood that on the quality of performance reports, on both provinces, then there are those municipalities that were showing good performance, but then when we go to the information technology, then we have got 100% problems with these municipalities. And my understanding was that this information technology is the one that generates the information that is being used to compile these reports. Probably there will be an explanation if there is problems with the IT, but then you can still find a municipality that brings quality reports. because surely if the IT is bad, and then the reports as well are supposed to reflect that. But I'm seeing something a little bit different, Chair. Maybe I can just get maybe a little bit of an explanation. And then, Chair, the other one, it's the report that I need to appreciate, Chair. This assurance report, I think for the first time, it is a good tool that one should appreciate, and I'm sure even the provinces, if they have this, probably they'll be seeing exactly where the gaps are and where more attention needs to be made. And also, this particular assurance report, Chair, I think in all material facts, it also indicates that there is not even a need for the MPACs. There's no need of the MPACs. Because surely the kind of work that they'll be doing, the information that they'll be working on, in most cases, there is just useless information. And then they can't make the difference. Now, I just want the Auditor General to explain to me why have they put internal audit in the second phase. In the second phase of assurance, when internal audit is supposed to be a functionary on a daily basis working with senior management on the internal controls, actually they are at the core phase of actually ensuring that what is actually happening in the municipality is in accordance. But why have you elevated it into the second phase and not in the first phase? I just need a little bit of an explanation on that one, Chair. The training, I think, in the Free State, I just want to understand that whether SALGA is involved as an institution, SALGA, when you train these councillors from the respective municipalities. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you to the AG. Mr. Chairman, the AG's report is very interesting. It's very colourful, but it lacks detail. It's not very easy for us to do oversight when general comments are made about lack of leadership and other things without detail. Where do we home in on? So I'm somewhat disappointed in that, and I hope that we get the detail that you asked for, but really a lot more detail. Comment made by, I'm not sure which member of the AG's office, but the qualified CFOs have been largely been appointed, and Mr. Chairman, you made a very good remark about the quality of the education, and you used the analogy of a pilot training to be a pilot and actually knowing how to fly an aeroplane when he gets into the pilot seat. May I take that analogy, with your permission, Mr. Chairman, a step further? Before you can fly a Boeing, you need 10 years or 1,000 hours of experience, despite the fact that you might be qualified as a pilot. And my question to the AG is then, these CFOs who have been appointed, do they actually have the experience to be able to do the jobs, or they've simply got some academic qualification and therefore are floundering? Mr. Chairman, to the AG Free State, and also Northwest, there's trusts. I hear this word coming through all the time. Can you please tell us, what are these trusts doing? Who's establishing them, for what purposes? And were you able to, this past year, audit the Tlasela Trust? You reported last time we met that you were unable to audit that, and you refused access to it. Has it now been audited? In our recommendations, in our report, there was a recommendation to the AG to investigate more deeply the fruitless and irregular expenditure in Machabeng and make recommendations or try and get that sorted out. What progress there? National Treasury, you were asked to look at the legality of provincial treasury's financial support to municipalities. Can we please have a report on what you've done there and the outcome of that investigation? Mr. Chairman, through the assurance thing, which has been raised by my colleagues, my concern there is that 100% of portfolio committees are incompetent or not doing their jobs, whatever way you want to look at it. And so the oversight there is just not happening. Can the AG tell us why? It's one thing to say it's not happening or, and I forget the term, what is the red term there? Anyway, we need to know why. Are those committees getting, as my colleagues have said, rubbish information, therefore they can't do their job? Are they not being given any information, as very often in my experience as a councillor was, portfolio committees were starved of information deliberately? What are the reasons for those portfolio committees not doing their jobs? You glibly say that consultants have not resulted in any meaningful change in the audit outcomes. Mr. AG, you should know better than anyone else that a consultant who comes in at the end of the process can't fix what's happened over the last 12 months. And so is that the reason, or are you saying to us that the consultants who are appointed are incompetent in themselves and it's wasteful expenditure? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, honourable members. Yes, a couple of years ago I did 6 training courses with APAC, and it assisted me as a member of the legislature a lot to do analysis of annual reports, quarterly reports, budgets, performance management, etc. And APAC will have to zoom into this training of MPACs and those members serving on MPAC. In specific and in general, the other councillors not serving on MPAC. And they have to be assessed. We wrote this when Seitwaki was the Auditor General of South Africa. Yes, the last day was a test day before you leave. But now you write the test and you go to the airport. Or you don't get your certificate. So there was discipline. That's part of leadership. There's a specific chapter 7 indicates the role of mayors. And the wording that is used in the MFMA is the word must. Not should, not would, not may, but the word must. And we'll have to get grip on this, honorable members. To the AGs, 10 minutes each, then we are past your time, and then we will go into the Northwest. To reply to the questions, Treasury, your question, you can reply at the end. You'll see there's a space for stakeholders. You can come in there because there will be other questions coming to you during the presentations from the honorable members. Right, Northwest AG and then Free State. 10 minutes each.
Chair, I don't have much time to go into the detail that the committee would otherwise require from me, but I'm going to attempt all these questions. Firstly, with regards to the consultants. The purpose of our slide was to highlight the amount expended on consultants. For the Northwest Province, we have a figure in our report, in our general report as it stands, of approximately 31.5 million rand that has been expended on consultants for the preparation of financial statements. And the reasons, honourable colleagues that had requested as to what was the reason for the consultants, the idea behind highlighting this is to explain the fact that consultants were employed, yes, quite rightfully at a point in time. They were not there at the beginning of the year, and that's what we're trying to say. For the consultants to have the desired impact, they would have to be there for throughout the period. To come at a point in time and to put even
information together based on what the municipality produces is not going to have the desired impact. Secondly, in terms of statistics, consultants employed due to vacancies was in 11% of the cases, and this is 11% of municipalities and entities, the denominator of 27. And furthermore, consultants employed as a result of a lack of technical skills was in 89% of the case. So that should give you an indication as to how we got to those numbers and the analysis therein. Furthermore, as I said, consultants appointed late to answer your question will not necessarily have that desired impact. Hence, we are aware of the fact that Treasury has put in the process of now doing of having consultants at these municipalities in the next phase, as I've understood, whereby they will address systems and controls. And that is currently in place, as we are aware. The question is regarding, do the CFOs have the experience to do the job or just the qualifications? It's a difficult question. Difficult in the sense that this should be as a result, that this should be something that will come out as a result of an outcome or as a conclusion to what you see. I haven't audited to determine experience versus qualification as part of our process and procedures. This could come up as a qualitative assessment based on what you see in terms of the municipality. So at this stage, I will refrain from answering that particular question until I have underlying data to substantiate my comment. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure on, I think it was, Monobang. We were not asked to investigate any fruitless and wasteful expenditure on Monobang. Yes, we have highlighted this matter, and that would be in our audit report as what was disclosed by the municipality. We are aware of the fact that there are current issues around certain aspects that have been highlighted in the media. We are following this. Should we be asked to investigate or look into this, we will take this up with the appropriate channels. Why are the impacts getting poor information? Scholar, can you step in on this one?
Thanks, Lekaton. Chair, yes, the impact and the oversight, there was a question on the oversight and the what are we actually looking at in terms of measuring the oversight responsibility of legislature but also its impacts. And what we're looking at is basically did that resolutions of that committee, did it have any impact? In other words, was the resolutions forthcoming from that committee? And did it actually, was it implemented and could we assess it and was there and then ultimately an impact from that? And that is why we're saying that the oversight those functions are not working effectively because even our portfolio committees in our province and also the impacts, they're not working effectively. We want to announce for our impact specifically, although they were established, we tried to train them. For instance, I was at the Roofman Party District where we did training for, and it should have been 60 members, there were 3 members that pitched up for that day for the training. And that is one of the problems that we're actually struggling with in terms of the getting the members to understand what their role and responsibility is. CFOs and the consultants as well, the slides, the attachment that you have to the slide, it shows there in red just the findings that we've had, and then you can see most of those municipalities, there's an R in each one of those red findings. That means it's a repeat finding, and it's been a repeat finding for a number of years. So the question on the CFOs that are appointed at most of our municipalities, they've not got the technical expertise or they've not got a qualification to be able to move their staff to clean these findings. Now, during the audit, we actually discussed these findings with them. We explained to them what the problem is. We explained to them how to deal with this problem, but they still don't come up dealing with this problem. That is why you sit with this problem of repeat findings. I think what is quite important is we need to understand that the CFO job is not somebody that comes out of a university and within 2 years or 3 years you get appointed and you're the CFO of a company because it deals with managerial skills. It deals with expertise to be able to do the job and to be able to guide other people on how to do the job effectively. As one person, you cannot do everything at a municipality. You need that support, but you need to be able to manage those people to be able to make sure that you get that right support. I think that is quite important. So then just lastly on the question, presentation of the information. We prepared the slides, yes, a little bit from the physical one, but with the time frame of 20 minutes at work, we got all information. If there's any specific information that you require or detail about any of the information in here, it can be requested. We got that available. We got the total set of slides is about 30 odd slides with, and then the report has got all additional information. So the information is available. We just need to know what the committee wants, and we can get that information to you, to the committee.
I propose that you give that copy as a master copy to the committee, a master copy to as a reference copy. You say 30 slides?
Yes.
That's not too much.
Okay.
Honourable members?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. You know, slides, it's a lot of paper and a lot of colour, and it doesn't give much detail. The report is really that perhaps can't be presented in 20 minutes. I accept that. But that would be useful. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, AG.
Chairman, do you support the slides, word notes, written notes,
yes,
and all the statistics?
Yes.
Together with all the lectures that will drill down to the numbers. I'll do it for you, by the way. Checking the calendar, responding to the question with
all
the
minutes left.
Okay.
Yes.
Illegal expenditure, yes, has been incurred. I've got the information, and I will submit that through to the committee. State of audit committees. 21 municipalities had audit committees in place. But at the end of the day, very bad place is one thing, but having a SC impact is another thing. They review their responsibilities in terms of the charter, and they review their responsibilities in terms of the information that they receive from management. Now, if the information received is not credible or reliable, such as the report, and that's where it stops. They go beyond that. And that is what we are saying. They are not having the intended or the desired impact that we so wish. In addition to that, the question posed on focus areas, the quality of performance report versus IT. Yes, 100% of our funds revolved around IT, and yes, I did say that it produces information. You know, I had in three instances, and those three particular municipalities, if I could just list them to you, not necessarily one of them, whereby you would have compensating controls that gave rise to the municipalities relying on systems outside that particular IT environment and were able to produce credible information. So yes, the answer is compensating controls. They were able to produce this information on which the municipality could place reliance. The question also around why is internal audit not in the first but in the second? In the first day, the first level of assurance, that speaks to producing information. Information emanates from that level of assurance, and the second talks to reviewing and overseeing the information that is produced by that first level of assurance, and that is why we've put internal audit at that level, to say that they review what information that has been produced by management. Thank you.
I just got 10 minutes.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I'll try to not to repeat on the ones that Northwest has already covered. I'll start with the issue with regard to the use of consultants in the province. Whether there's resources, why does the province still manage to appoint the consultants? We've got a lot of reasons, but I just cited few examples with regard to the late appointments. We had issues around the issues of the bed planning in prioritizing the preparation of the financial statements. We said the other issues that have the problems is with regard to the fact that the consultants that are appointed, they are not provided with the credible and accurate information. So whatever information that they get is the information that they use to produce the financial statements. Hence, we see the impact in the financial statements that there's no impact, even though they are consultants that have been used. We stated the fact that that in some municipalities they use them to actually perform the day-to-day function, which we see that is not supposed to. Where we said to the municipality, they starting to remove the ownership now, and leave it out to the consultants and not take the full ownership of that. And then we said this one of appointing the consultant on time. There are areas with regard to the issues around the infrastructure assets which require the experts to actually assist in those fields. And if they started engaging the consultants to assist them with the infrastructure assets within a period of a month or 2 months before the end of the financial statements, it's really not impossible for the consultants to finalize that process, because there's a lot of processes that need to be followed. So even though we engage the consultants, there's still going to be some qualification areas that are raised with regard to the issues of fixed assets. But if the committee wants the full list of the diagnoses that we pick up with regard to the consultants, we can submit it as part of the additional information that we submit to the committee. On the costs of what the municipality are incurring versus the cost of the community, we haven't done the full analysis of the cost. We started looking at it, but I requested the community maybe can request either maybe Coordinator or Provincial Treasury, maybe if they can provide that information on the costs between the audit committee and the use of consultants. I think my colleague has already responded on the issues around the IT and the fact that we've got some municipalities that we said we satisfied with the reporting, they are reporting on the performance reporting. For our IT, we're now looking at the controls around IT. And with the performance reporting is where the municipalities, they report in terms of the objectives that they put up in their IDP, if whether they delivered on those objectives that they set. So even though we've got some findings on IT, if they can report on the performance and provide us with the supporting documentation to validate the figure that they provided that they've done, we'll actually accept that information. The training of the counselors, we had meetings between ourselves, Auditor General, Provincial Coordinator, and Provincial Treasury. And also SALGA is part of those meetings. So SALGA is aware of the training that we're conducting to the councillors with regard to oversight. But SALGA and our community, at some point, they had some leadership challenges. So we didn't want to delay this process. So we decided to carry on and go ahead with the provision of the training to the councillor. So in this process that we've conducted so far, SALGA was not part of it. My colleague responded on the issues of the qualification with CFOs, but I must mention also that there's an assessment that is done by National Treasury with regard to the competencies of the CFOs. I know not all the CFOs in the provinces went through that process, but all the CFOs that have been tested, they are all, they get their final assessment is that they are competent. But as my colleague has indicated, it's very difficult to really perform an audit to say this is the experience. But in terms of the minimum qualification, I can attest that most of the CFOs that are appointed in the provinces, they've got that minimum qualification. With regard to the trusts, there are three trusts that the province has got. Is the one that is at Metsuma Olo, Fezile Derby, as well as the one which was at Pumanena Local Municipality. The trust for the Pumanena Municipality, it has been closed down. It was a trust that was opened in 1993. And it was more to do with the farm, where the municipality had some trustees that were part of those trustees, and at some point it happened that there were no representative of the municipalities who were sitting in the trust. But since after we during the process that we were engaging in actually getting the financial statements, the trust actually closed down and they paid over the money to the municipality. So we're just auditing those financial statements that they were operating before they actually closed down. The other trust, which is Mutsina Aolo and Fez Leta, we know we had some engagements with the municipalities because we found out these trusts are also dysfunctional. There are no activities that are happening in their financial records. They are considering of closing them down, but they still want to follow the processes in ensuring that they comply with legislation in considering of closing down. The Slasola Fund, fortunately the MEC, Honorable MEC Finance is here, maybe she can even give us more information on that one. But we did receive an official response from the province with regard to Slasola that it is a private fund. There's no public funds that are flowing to that fund. So based on that confirmation that we received, so we never perform an audit on the Slasola. I think I've covered all of them. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you to the two HEs from the provinces, Honorable MECs, Sebehu, welcome. You've got quite a volume of documentation that you submitted to the committee. One of the documents is the progress made on the recommendations of the Select Committee for Finance, because there you are actually addressing what we recommended and our findings. We give you 30 minutes to do your presentation. The same will for Free State when they do their presentation, we get 30 minutes. The MEC is also acting as the MEC for COPTA. MEC, over to you.
No, thanks, Chair. Thanks, honorable members. Can we get the NOFOS presentation? The NOFOS presentation, please.
Do you have the hard copies of the... How did I get...
Yeah, basically we have attempted to respond to the issues as guided by the correspondence that we received. The presentation will focus on the background, the recommendations by the Select Committee on Finance and Engagement and Progress to Date, as well as the Local Government Support Program for 2012-2013 and 2013-2014, and the general challenges facing municipalities in the Northwest, and that will then... The last item will be conclusion. In terms of the progress made as per the recommendations, first is that with regard to sector departments, where it was expected that sector departments should provide report on the support that they are providing, progress to date, we wish to report to this committee that through the local government turnaround strategy, 7 out of the 10 municipalities that have been received that have been targeted have received support both from the Department of Water Affairs, Economic Development, Provincial Treasury and Human Settlement. And the department have identified specific projects that are needed for as part of the support to municipalities. And in terms of this is that the support is ongoing and we expect the department to intensify the support through the local government turnaround strategy in the 7 municipalities, and the other 3 municipalities receive support through other programs, including the IDP processes, where sector departments committed funds and project implementation within these municipalities. It was also expected that the MEC for local government should consider submitting reports of the interventions that were initiated in the past. We can also report to this committee that these reports were submitted to the three offices of the mayors, the Tswayini Municipality, Madibe Municipality, and Moshiskwatane. It was also submitted to the Select Committee, and we can confirm that it should be available with the committee. And in terms of progress, there are some minor challenges within municipalities, where some of the municipalities, when we submitted these reports, there were some resistance because there were specific recommendations. You would recall that at the time of the interventions, as prescribed by the legislation, once the new council came in, we had to provide close-up reports with specific recommendations. In this particular case, we had the situation where in Madibe, when we requested them to call for council, to come and present this report to council, they refused to call that council, to the effect that we then had to submit the report through the office of the mayor. That's why currently you must have noted that even National COCTA is involved, where we wanted even to invoke an intervention again, because all the issues that were raised at the time could not be attended to. Corruption spread is continuing like, you know, it is business as usual. And now we are at the point where it has been resolved. At one point, there was an intervention from National COCTA where they had to analyze whatever we have done as a provincial department. And they came to a conclusion that all the recommendations of the close-up report must be implemented. We're at the point where we have to go and implement these recommendations. We are still to meet with council. Two meetings were postponed from COCTA. We hope that the minister would be available very soon so that we can go back and ensure that the recommendations of the initial interventions are implemented. There were also recommendations in terms of the Select Committee on Finance that all sector departments should provide full support to the city of Matrosana local municipality, as it has been experiencing serious challenges. In terms of progress, we can also report to this committee that provincial government committed to paying all outstanding debt for services rendered to various departments, and to this end, 15 million was paid by the Department of Education and Health, and the Office of the Premier had to pay 16 million to ESCOM as a contribution to the area account. This was as a result of the notice that we received from ESCOM with intention to cut off electricity in that municipality. We can also indicate that there has been several efforts that were taken by the provincial government and without sufficient progress from the municipality, which led to the provincial government to further resolve to invoke Section 139 discretionary intervention, where the provincial government resolved to take over the financial administration of the municipality. As we speak right now, there's serious resistance from the municipality to allow the provincial government to assist. I mean, that municipality at one point, they had a debt of 960 million. They are unable to save it. Their debt. They have even exhausted their the reserves. Yet, even now, they would actually take money from Paul to pay Peter, and next month they would then want to pay Peter and not pay Paul, and, you know, trying to buy time in terms of their financial situations. The reality is that at one point, 4 weeks ago, all the trucks and municipal vehicles had to stop because they could not pay fuel for the service provider. However, it's a matter that we are trying to resolve. There are serious political conflicts between provincial government and the municipality, but we hope that we should be able to find a solution. The reality of the matter is that there are serious crises in that municipality. There are no funds. There's no accountability in terms of what happened with the funds of those municipalities. But it's a matter that is receiving attention from provincial government. The Tswayini local municipality, as it was indicated, there was a view that it must be placed under Section 139. But we also want to report to the committee in terms of progress. The Tswayini seems to be showing some improvement since the appointment of the MM and the CFO, because at the time of the visit by the committee, there were no appointments of CFOs and MMs. However, recently, there are also some reports of possible maladministration. It's unfortunate that this has not been, you know, communicated formally, and we've advised the municipality to communicate the matters formally so that we can also act accordingly. We can also report that the municipality is receiving support from the both COCTA and provincial treasury on various programs, including the annual financial statement and improvement performance management, as well as general financial management. And we can also indicate that the municipality, of course, still requires some support from provincial government over and above the type of support that we are providing. As it relates to the recommendation relating to the Minister of Culture and the Premier, where it is said that the investigation must be pursued in relation to the service provider for the collection of debts at the Ventersdorp local municipality, we can report to this committee that a contract was perused by the legal division in the department, and it was discovered that the contract is legal, however, not beneficial to the municipality. It was therefore, the municipality was therefore also advised that it should consider before signing any contract and advice, and the possibility of terminating the contract was going to result in litigations. However, in terms of the latest, we can also indicate that the current status of the contract is that the service provider stopped working since December 2011 after the community rejected the meters that were installed due to some complications with the cars. And as it stands, the matter is now in the court between the municipality and the service provider. We will be providing federal legal support just to ensure that at least the interest of the public is protected. With regard to the recommendation on provincial treasuries looking at the leases at Ventersdorp local municipality, which it has entered into, we can also indicate that the municipality is also supported by the provincial treasury in terms of the municipal financial improvement support, both phase 1, phase 2 and phase 3 outlined below. As it relates to Kirkland local municipality, where it was said that Kirkland municipality should consider taking the matter between themselves and the ratepayers association to court to recover the municipal rate funds that are kept in the trust. We also wish to report to this committee that the matter of the ratepayer association has been dealt with by the courts. We can also indicate that provincial treasuries are awaiting documents from the municipality to further engage and support the municipality. And then the next one, with regard to the Moretele local municipality, where the committee said that the Moretele local municipality should review the internal audit unit. We also can report that the municipality has an approved risk management policy. The municipality has also identified and discussed and assessed documents of all the risks that were identified at the time, and also compiled a risk register, and the register is due for review. With regard to Moses Kotane, local municipality, in terms of filling of filing system, the municipality is also using the shared unit audit committee set between the municipality and the district of Bujanala. We can indicate that the shared committee was appointed by the council of the district, and that an approved audit committee charter in place, and was approved also by council on the 27th of August 2012. As it relates to Mamusa local municipality, in terms of progress, we used to indicate that the municipal manager, chief financial officer, director corporate, director community services, and director technical positions interviews were held at the end of May. In terms of capacity, we can confirm that in terms of the profile of the municipal manager, that there is an experience of 9 years in local government with a degree, and that director corporate services, there's also experience of 8 years with a degree, chief financial officer, experience in local government for 13 years, and the BTO structure, which was not in existence before, has been reviewed. Positions have been reviewed and filled in the current financial year. There's also risk management, where an official has been identified for risk management. The risk management policy and anti-fraud and corruption structure have also been tabled in council, and there are ongoing relevant workshopping. Most of the officials are going through the workshops in terms of these policies that were adopted by council. With regard to Makwasi Hills, where it was said that Makwasi Hills should forward an action plan on how they would address the Auditor General finding. I can confirm to this meeting that an action plan for 2011-2012 has been approved, submitted and approved by council, and that the 2012-2013 annual financial report have been compiled together with a consultant who provides an on-job training that has been confirmed. We are obviously focusing on the 2013 financial year. We hope by the 31st of July this report would be ready for submission. Now, the type of support that is provided by local government, I would also wish to indicate to this committee that the following support programs have been rolled out by local government in various of these municipalities: record management support, revenue enhancement strategy support, provincial infrastructure grant project management support, and the impact support. To be specific, I can indicate to this committee that the project on record management was initiated in 2011 and formed a partnership with provincial Department of Sports, Arts and Culture to address issues of loss of documents and unavailability of records as raised by the Auditor General. That workshops were conducted for 80 municipal officials on record management, and that there's been training provided for 57 officials charged with the responsibility of record management, mainly the registry clerks. And that local government has also provided 11 municipalities, namely the Moretele, Mafike Luka Municipality, Ketling, Venters Dop Tswaying, and Makwasi Hills, with equipment to improve document management and record management. Equipment such as computers, scanners, printers, fax, and stationery. And also that the department is continuing to implement the record management project to instill a culture of proper documents management and record keeping within the prioritized municipalities. And as it relates to the revenue enhancement strategy, I also wish to report that the department initiated and implemented a revenue management project in 2011-2012 financial year in 5 municipalities, namely Mafikeng, Ventersdorp, Tswaying, to address the following: the meter installation and rehabilitation, data management, meter readings, billing, receipt management, credit control, debt management, intelligent management, and customer care. Now, with regard to the revenue enhancement, there's also phase 2 of the revenue enhancement of the project, which includes, like I said, meter rehabilitation in 2 municipalities, which is Tswaying and Naledi Lukan Municipality. And the 2 municipalities received further grant funding to the tune of 294,000 to replace faulty meters. The project is also in the implementation stage and will be completed before the end of the municipal financial year. And as it relates to this other municipality, there's a focus in the current financial year to provide support on the revenue enhancement on the following 6 municipalities: Tswaying, Naledi, Ventersdorp, Lekwataemani, Mahikeng, Madibeng, Ditsobotla, Makwasi Hills, and Matlosane. There's also a focus on improvement on collection of debtors, with Mafikeng and Naledi showing significant improvement in terms of the revenue collection. As it relates to provincial infrastructure grant project, the department receives an infrastructure grant on an annual basis for water and sanitation support to municipalities. The funds are transferred to targeted municipalities that are water service authorities to implement water and sanitation projects to eradicate backlogs. And it will also provide planning and technical support to municipalities to implement the infrastructure project through the PIG and the MIG, Provincial Infrastructure Grant and Municipal Infrastructure Grant. And then for the past 5 years, the figure there indicates the amount of money that has been spent to date per municipality. In terms of the MPEC support, the department supported the establishment of the 23 MPECs by the November 2011. All the MPECs in the province were established through the initiative of the provincial department. The MPEC functionality, of course, is at the varying levels. Only 3 MPECs are not fully functional, which is that of those of Tswaying, Makwasi Hills, and Ketling, though they are receiving attention from the provincial government. And the provincial government, in terms of its partnership with provincial treasury and the APPAC and the APEC, conducted orientation and training program for all MPECs to empower them to execute their functions. And that the Department of Local Government and the Provincial Public Accounts Committee established the provincial and district MPEC forums that are convened on a quarterly basis to review progress, address challenges, and best practices. The last meeting that was held was last week. There are also 67 female MPECs, members out of the total of 119 females and 83 males, which were trained, who were trained by the National Democratic Institute on negotiation skills, conflict resolution, and communication. And the Department of COCTA Provincial continuously monitors and supports the functionality of the MPECs through regular engagement and workshops. There are 9 MPECs within the priority municipalities who have been receiving equipment, who received equipment on the 24th of May, like I have already indicated in my previous slide. In terms of general challenges facing municipalities in the Northwest Province, I wish to point the following, that of course there are governance-related problems in municipalities, also purely as a result of political instability, which affect the impact of the provincial support programs that we have initiated to various municipalities. There's also a general non-compliance to legislation and regulations by municipalities. I think there are 3 areas of concern to us, which is the deviation from supply chain, spending unspent funds, and the loss of documents, which we have resolved that these areas will have to be criminalized, because we can do everything in trying to impact on the clean audit. But these 3 areas as a province, in terms of our support, we don't have control over. We would not be there when documents are misplaced. We would not be there when there's deviation on supply chain, even though we keep on emphasizing these issues. We would also not be there when municipalities spend money that are not allocated, except that we would obviously intervene, and mostly of the time we intervene after the whatever would have occurred. There's also escalating levels of uncollected debt from consumers, which is currently estimated at 4.5 billion. Like we said, we have engaged with municipalities in terms of the revenue enhancement strategy. Initially, we targeted 5 municipalities. We have now increased them to an additional 8 as we speak. So we hope that municipalities will take advantage of some of the support that we are providing. There's also a concern, of course, of high rate, vacancy rate in key positions and high turnover rate that affect the impact of municipal support programs. We've spoken to municipalities about this issue. It's unfortunate that every time there's a new political leader who comes in, certain officials have to, you know, be compromised in the process. And even the type of intervention or support that we are providing is not going to help. Today we've got the CFO, after the support that we provide, there's a new CFO who comes in who may not have been exposed to the similar support that we have been providing. There's also lack of skills, of course, we are agreeing, and expertise in municipalities, which impact negatively on the sustainability of municipal support programs. In terms of the support by the provincial treasury that we are providing to municipalities, we can also indicate that the type of support from provincial treasury was on specific municipalities in the province, which have been identified as lowest in terms of capacity and also the worst in terms of the report of the Auditor General outcome, which is explained in part 1. And part 2 deals with other support provided by the provincial treasury to all municipalities. And this also covers the recommendations as indicated by the Select Committee on Public Accounts. Now, this is the part 1, covers the detailed support on from provincial treasury. You would have seen that as a result of the Northwest municipalities' history of non-submission on annual financial statement to the Auditor General and poor audit outcome, the department realized that the municipalities are in dire need of assistance with annual financial statements and preparations and close process. And in that process, the department therefore appointed a panel of 15 service providers to assist the preparation of annual financial statements at municipalities that the department identified to require immediate assistance. I must put it on record. It was through the initiative of provincial government that we now have all municipalities, 23 municipalities, having submitted their annual financial statement. And we're not only concentrating on 23 financial statements. In total, there were 39 annual financial statements that were submitted. That's why I'm slightly disappointed with the view of the Auditor General in terms of the assurance that the provincial government seems not to be providing enough support. I mean, this assurance, this process we engaged early last year, 31st August, we had a ceremony where we confirmed that all municipalities had submitted. It was the first in the country. That's the first thing that I want to put on record. 2, we did not just submit. We had to try our best to deal with issues of quality in the process. Of course, it's a process that we have noted some specific issues, of course, of the asset register. As we speak right now, we are assisting municipalities, you know, to comply with the CRAP 17 in detail. I think we've already started with 5 municipalities. We also have additional 4 municipalities based on audit outcome, just to try and deal with those issues that have been identified by the Auditor General. We have already started with the execution plan to deal with all the audit queries that have been raised. It's a question, there was that question that was raised. All queries that were raised, I can confirm to you that we are dealing with them. By the 31st of July, we'll have cleaned up all the queries that would have been raised by the Auditor General in terms of the implementation plan. And we have also further resolved that these municipalities must submit to their council in terms of the progress on audit queries. We hope that by the 31st of July, we'll have cleaned all the issues that were raised by the Auditor General from the previous audit outcome. So I believe that to a particular degree, we are really trying our best to assist this municipality. Certain things we have very little control over, except that to refer these matters to police to deal with. I must also indicate that municipal financial management support that we are providing was launched, like I said, on the 21st of June last year, where the political and administrative leadership of all municipalities were invited to a session. And the audit outcome, like of those of 2010-11 financial year, showed that municipalities in the province performed very poor, of course, and that there was not much improvement on 2011-2012. We could not expect much. You can imagine, most of these municipalities have not been submitting annual financial statement for 3 consecutive years. So you would not have, even if you had an action plan, you would not have anything to deal with because they never submitted. For the first time that they have now submitted, hence we are dealing with that action plan to clean up all the audit queries, and that's when I'm very hopeful that we'll begin to see some improvement. I can indicate to this committee that we have established a technical project steering committee consisting of officials of the department and lead service providers who are actually assisting us in this regard. And that coupled to this, the project political oversight committee was also established, consisting of mayors, speakers, MEC for finance, and chair of MPEC in those municipalities, chaired by the MEC for finance. I can indicate here, of course, there's issues of attitude. It cannot be correct. We have engaged thoroughly with these municipalities in sessions where we would sit at from 8 o'clock in the morning until 8 in the evening. But some of the mayors were nowhere to be found. When we expect them to drive these processes, where we went into details on issues that were identified by the Auditor General. It's very, very regrettable. It has been an ongoing practice. Every time you call meetings, the MEC, the mayors are not there. And you can imagine how much you expect in terms of that political, lack of political tone setting that has been raised by the Auditor General. There's no guarantee if you don't have a political head being part of this processes as such. So we'll continue to raise these things. We hope somewhere in the process we will win. And I can also indicate that the first phase of the program entailing giving support like deployment of service provider and trained graduate to municipalities we have been providing, technical support for assistance with preparations of annual financial statement, like I said, and this annual financial statement that we've been doing, as well as the municipal support improvement program, the emphasis that we've been making is in terms of the skill transfers continuously. So we're trying our best to determine the extent to which some of these things are implemented. We hope when these people exit from this support, at least these officials would actually be independent in terms of dealing with the issues. I can indicate indeed that in our view, like I said, there is that progress. The fact that all municipalities have submitted, it is also a progress on its own, which we cannot just underestimate as such. So I think it is worth recognition. And over and above this, the Department of Finance, of course, also decided to provide ongoing support to all 8 municipalities identified in Phase 1 to achieve sustainable improvement in financial management as well as governance. Because our view is obvious. We would not want to see, if you see the Auditor General's report, you would see that most of the issues for which municipalities have been qualified on, they've been repeating themselves. So we want to ensure that as we engage on this, in the sustainability, in terms of areas that would have improved on, that we sustain that improvement. The 8 municipalities that are benefiting from this initiative are specified there in the next slide. Kretling, Ventersdorp, Tswaying, Kagisano, Ditswabotla, Moretele, Mafikeng, and Makwasiris. You'll see that it's almost seven of them are part of those 10 municipalities that have been identified by the Select Committee on Finance. And after the completion of phase one, we then, as a department, realized that in order for the project to reap sustainable results, that we focus on ensuring that there's reliability of underlying data and information contained in the annual financial statement, which is an area that was also raised by the Auditor General. And to this extent, of course, we provided some support through the service provider to assist the municipalities in updating of the records and completing all necessary reconciliation up to the end of June 2013. They are currently busy, like I said, you know, with the reconciliation and verification of data, because, you know, submission was one thing, but quality, it's another thing, so that at least we are not necessarily going to be qualified on areas that we could have dealt with at an earlier stage. Yeah, I'm just about to finish. Obviously, we expect we can confirm to this committee that by 31st of August this year, there would be 100% submission. This one is a non-issue. Our focus now is on quality as well as sustainability of the progress that would have registered since audit and to date. We anticipate that all municipalities supported will improve from disclaimer audit opinion to at least qualification at the end of November this year. However, we are obviously working very hard to ensure that all the areas that were raised, we are still very confident about the 2014. We'll see when we reach that stage where will we be. Now, this particular area of the GRAP 17 implementation, we have prioritized it because we realize most of this municipality have been mainly qualified around GRAP 17. To an extent that the audit outcome for 2011-12 financially showed that municipalities in the province were predominantly disclaimed purely as a result of the GRAP 17, and we have therefore identified, like I said, four municipalities to assist them with the unbundling of the infrastructure assets, and the project is currently 50% completion and will be concluded before the end of the municipal financial year. We started on time at least. You know, we hope that we're making an impact. And these are the municipalities which are currently assisted: Taung, Luka Municipality, Ventersdorp, Kagisano, Molopo, and Makwasi Hills. And we believe that by the end of the audit period, none of these municipalities will be disclaimed on assets, like I said. And there are other forms of support that we are providing as a province, such as the Municipal Financial Health Check Questionnaire that we've distributed. We are also dealing with issues and also analysis and assessment of the 2011-2012 action plan. We've already engaged with all municipalities in ensuring that they clean out all the issues that were raised by the Auditor General, like I said before, and we can report that there is sufficient progress. I know that in one area, the municipality with the highest queries at one point was standing at 157. And 2 months back when we met with that municipality, they had already cleaned most of the queries and they were sitting at around 93 of the queries, which to us was a sufficient progress. And we can confirm that we are so hopeful that we would have cleaned all the audit queries by the end of the year, even before we submit for the next audit cycle. We have been engaging with municipalities on financial management assessments through the MEC engagement sessions with municipalities to assess their readiness to a clean audit. Like I said, there's sufficient progress. There are only these three areas which is a concern: those of loss of documents and the issue of the deviation from supply chain, as well as the spending money that the municipality do not have. You know, we are very working very, very hard on this area. The rest, I think, we are able to manage, as well as the capacity building. Like we said, we've trained almost most of the officials in all these municipalities, especially in the finance area. The CFO, all the CFOs in municipality, there are specific tailored programs that we have actually put in place to try and improve the capacity of the CFOs. We've also trained them on the MFMA reforms. There's also quarterly CFO forums that we have engaged on. Although the attendance is also not convincing, as everybody knows that we have three municipalities that we have put under intervention, and we hope that this intervention would help. We obviously are studying from the past interventions where we could not do well. However, as we speak, there are resistances. Only one municipality where we are able to put a team the municipality of Makwasi Hills, which did not even have budget. There was virtually no municipality there at all, even though there was also resistance. Matosa Naluka municipality is a serious issue for us. It needs assistance, but we'll continue to engage with them. The Tsobota municipality, when we wanted to send a team for assessment, the team was refused access into the municipality. I think that's the extent of, you know, challenges that we find ourselves having to deal with within the Northwest Province. Overall, in conclusion, I think I can confirm that the situation in the Northwest may not be that bad as it has been presented in the media, especially, let's say, for the past 12 months, as purely as a result of a lot of interactions. I mean, Auditor General, they are our partner. It's unfortunate today they are saying that in their report that the provincial support is not sufficient. We know, but we need to appreciate whatever that we have done to date. But we are working very close with them. We are working very close with all other stakeholders, SALGA, and so forth. So basically, that's the list that we can provide to this committee in terms of responding to the issues that were raised in the last visit. And thank you very much.
Thank you, MEC. And thank you for you as the political head doing this presentation. Because when you go into the council, the provincial legislators, politicians that vote on the budget, on reports, etc. It's politicians, it's not the officials. So thank you very much for this principle you also laid down. As an example for MECs in other provinces and for political heads of departments, whether it's at national, provincial or local sphere of government. Honourable members, we are 48 people in this room, and the space for the tea, coffee and what else is there is very small. I'm requesting we're going to have a break now for 10 minutes. Please take your cup of coffee, whatever you want to eat, and come back to your desk, please, to make space for the other members to help themselves. The room is very small with us. It's a mass meeting. We suspend the proceedings for 10 minutes, and then we will take the free state. Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to talk to Steve off now.
Yeah, that is bigger. I want to talk about that.